I mentioned to the others before y'all arrived here, y'all are special people and everything. And we don't need any extra donations today. We had enough donations this morning to make the $120 for the cookies and brownies and everything. Everything worked out so well today, and we're so glad that it did work out. These young people are part of missionary groups, and PKA is a well-noted thing for that, and it's such a good time to have with them. Part two, what should we do as a Christian after we're baptized into Christ? I mentioned about in Romans chapter 12, there are a number of things that are listed there. And I want to go to that once again and begin at verse 9 of Romans chapter 12 and talk about the kind of things that Paul wrote that we ought to be people who serve the cause of the Lord in this way. It's the lifestyle that Jesus wanted people to follow. In Romans 12, beginning at verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. When we talk about dissimulation, we're talking about something that is evil, something that is not correct, something that's just satisfies somebody for listening for a little time, and then if they find out later on, that wasn't right at all. But they can't do anything about it because they don't remember exactly where they got that information. And so dissimulation is a way to deceive people. He says in verse number 9, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Always be a person who loves good things being done, good things being said, good work being done. Oh, how much I love people who come by the building here and help out cause of the building and help out the situation going on, especially when we have potluck going on and things are brought, and always is nice, always good, always helpful to compliment those people who do bring those things in. That's a great way to do. He says in verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Look at the way that people do. They're brethren in the Lord. And if they're brethren in the Lord, surely we have a greater sense of feeling for them, a greater sense of love for them, a greater sense of need that they have in mind. And when they have a need and they tell us about a need situation, we know that it's serious. We know that it's something that we could contribute to and be well worthwhile in doing so, because they are looking forward to doing good with that money that's involved. And so in honor, prefer one another. Not slothful in business. Slothful in business, the idea of being a person who's lazy about business, lazy about a work being done, lazy about the activity going on, always showing up late, always never being there, always never being on time, being about that slothful ways is not a good way to live, and have noted to that. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Patient in tribulation, even in times of trouble. Urge the brethren overseas. I hope they've been urged through the years. I believe they have been, by way of Jerry Moore's comments about the people that he knew over there in this place of, I called it Armenia, but it's not actually Armenia. It's actually
Ukraine.
Ukraine. And so it is that over there, when they had opportunity to learn and know the gospel, I hope that people taught them to be people who were patient in tribulation and prayerful in the same thing. Be people who all the time are people in prayer about what's going on. Not just when they hear the sound that there's bombs on the way, not just anticipating they're at the borders and therefore they're building up armament and therefore they're probably going to come on in this country. Not praying just at that time. Ask God to forgive me for not praying earlier. Pray earlier than that. Pray earlier than that situation. Be a person of prayer, continuing instant in prayer. Patient in tribulation. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Brethren, as I mentioned before, are going to be particularly people that love and cared for and need help and aid. I remember at the Nile congregation, we had situations out in the country there where they were milking cows and things like that. And there were people who would be in times of need in situation. They need some food, some grain. They need something to help them out with the cows that they had. And they wouldn't hesitate to mention, because they knew the brethren were serious about it, and they knew that they would end their work and they would find something that they might could give to it. And they always met up with their needs, and they had a thank you on their bulletin board time and time again. Thank you for the corn that you gave me. Thank you for the shoots that you gave me. Thank you for the help that you rendered to me during this time, because they were in need. And they would say so. They were in need, and that's a good thing to be there. People in the Delta were folks so that I worked with that they wouldn't tell you about a need. They'd think that if you couldn't see my need, that I don't need to tell you about my need. Well, you can't always see a need and know that a need exists. And to have somebody to be fearing good about it, when you give to the hospitality of saints, you find yourself doing good. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Do not with one set of words bless them and then turn around and use profanity toward them. That's not the way to do. And when others hear about us doing that way, they'll think, how will they talk about you and me? How do they talk about us? And they'll talk about us in the same way. They'll give good words for a time when you're there, but then they'll profane you when you're leaving out. That's not a good thing to do. He says, rejoice, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Proud notions that people have about themselves. You know, and I know, there are some people that want to go out. They don't want to go out with their shoes not shining. They don't want to go out with just anything on. They want to go out dressed well. They want to go out recognizing. They don't want their car to be so terribly with the paint, with the dirt on it and everything. But they want it to represent them well. And they want that to be done. And people have that notion. And back there in that day and time, they had it with the wagons, and they had it with the horses and the mules that they worked with, and the various oxen that they worked with. They had those certain kind of things going on. And so it was that they would not be wise in their own proud notions that they had. They would recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, and if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's the way that he tells them to live. They're living this way. They're doing that way. And when he starts out in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil. He mentions evil three other times in those verses. Evil was a part of the Roman Empire and a part of the day and time which they lived. And that was not a good thing for them to decide, I'll practice some evil things. I'll practice these things too. I'll get away with it just like others get away with it. No, that's not the way to think and do. It's the way to help. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, he tells us. In regard to this matter, this is the way of life that he says. Live as Christ lived, as he wants us to live. And by the process of that, it will heap coals of fire upon the heads of those who are served, who began opposing you. They began resisting you. But because of the good care that you rendered, and the kind of help that you rendered, and the kind of attitude you manifest about it, you know there's a way in which we can give to people, and we don't have to say a word, but it says it by way of our disposition, by the way that we walk up, by the way that we walk away, by the way that we are. It tells them, they didn't really want to be here. They didn't really want to help us. They really didn't want to do this. And that does happen. But he says, don't do that way. Be a person who goes about it, being helpful to others around you as you go. And that's the way to do. Do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Good that is done. Now let's go to a passage that's found in the writing of 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, reference is made to how we live and how we do after baptism into Christ. After we come into Christ Jesus, we find a way for us to behave and do. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, commencing at verse 11, "But thou, O man of God," here are people described that way. They become a Christian. They're an old man of God. You, a person who decided to leave the world and the devil being in charge of your life, let the Lord be in charge of your life. "O man of God," he says to him, "who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot." What are we supposed to do? That there's a commandment that he's giving. And he's saying this, and now Paul is writing to Timothy, "This is the way that you behave, without spot, unrebukable, under the appearing of Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." There were those in charge in that day and time in which they did not do the right thing. And what he says there in verse 11 of 1 Timothy 6, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, after faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And he even cites then Jesus, having confessed a good confession. "Yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, you've said it right." And that's actually what Jesus said when he did not give a reply to Pontius Pilate. He was giving the reply, "You have said it. You've already said it. You've already noted I am who I claim to be." And why that man couldn't see that, why he couldn't say, "Wait a minute, y'all, this is being done by men who want to take advantage of the Savior that has come. This is done by men prosecuting him on the basis of what the Savior has said rather than what he's done against them. Why can't we live this way? Why can't we do this right?" But instead of that, he had the confession that Jesus made, and he took it, and he had that before him, and it's referred to as a witnessed a good confession. Somewhere along the way, the workers around Pontius Pilate heard that he had said, "In 3 days I will rise." So when they come back to Pontius Pilate, they say, "Hey, you need to set a watch." Because his disciples, that's the way they figured it would happen, his disciples would come and steal his body away and say he's risen from the dead. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want this deceiver to have the last error worse than the first. Can you imagine that? Talk about Jesus' life that way. The worst now will be worse than the first. This first teaching and first doing of healing the sick and raising up people who were sick and dead, that was a bad thing on Jesus' part. And now there'll be worse. It'll be worse if he gets to deceive them that he's risen from the dead. And so Pilate was bothered by what they said. Enough. That's why I say I wish that Pilate surely would go over, but he would not go over. He says to them, "You go, make your watch as sure as you can. You just do it." So naturally, whom would they choose? Would they choose men to set up on that grave that they believe would kind of represent them and represent their way and represent the efforts that they put forth to put him to death? Why, sure they would. "Go it and make it sure as you can." Well, they would say, "I have a right to do this. I have a right to call on you to go serve and help the cause." And so they would go and they'd make the money for doing that, and they were sitting out there But they were there, and they were really, really weak compared to what took place. When the angels came and began to roll that stone back, they had no power at all. Matthew says that, I believe it was Matthew, that says they were as dead men. They were as dead. They couldn't move. They couldn't believe it. That here was someone that could roll that stone away. And Jesus could come forth. And his grave clothes laid at his head. Oh, what a good confession he did. And fight the good fight of faith, he tells us to do. Lay hold on eternal life. We are called to lay hold on eternal life, and that's the way of life that we ought to do. We ought not to be so bothered by, in essence, of our cows in this instance, or our horses in this instance, or critters that we have on the farm, and bothered and troubled by what they do. Sometimes we just cuss them out, as though they understand the words that we're saying and the mannerisms that we're doing. That's just not right. Besides, others will hear and they will know, oh, that's... But what we want to do is this way. We want to lay hold on eternal life. And as we have them to be corrected and be admonished, we want to admonish them in the right kind of way. Be a person who loves that way and that cause. He tells us in this regard, in verse 16 and 17, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they may do good, that they may be rich in good works, and ready to distribute, that is, give, ready to give to the needy, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. When Jesus says to us, if he does, what have you brought with you here? Here's what you want to say, and what I want to say. I brought the foundation. I'm standing on that foundation of eternal life. I'd like to have eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, such as do not honor God, and oppositions of science falsely so called. They had a lot of things going on in that day and time in the Roman Empire, and thus they say, which some professing have erred from the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. They left the faith because they could look at things out here and they could decide, that's not the way, that's not the way. And they decided that on the basis of that without anything else in their minds. It's a good fight of faith that we're to pay. It's a way of life that we're to go through. And if we're be people who love without hypocrisy and abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, don't you know that we'll have a wonderful way of life to meet the Lord in the time of our death? Don't you know that it'll be better for us to follow the teaching of God's Word that was given? In Romans 12, I mentioned this morning about, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I didn't go into the idea of what a living sacrifice is. Sacrifice is a death. It's something sacrificed. It's something gotten rid of. But living sacrifice, a way of life that I put off, that way of life, I don't go to see that movie because of the words and mannerism being done. I find myself getting up from movies which have those kind of words and mannerisms and leaving myself beside that. I find myself doing that because that's what the scripture here says, holy sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, who is your reasonable service. He is the one that you think of, and you think of reasonable service to God is what we're supposed to render. And here is enjoying the things that are of the world and the mannerisms of the world in front of us on the silver screen. Let's be people who honor not that, but who find ourselves in holiness, a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then I mentioned about in Romans 5 and Galatians chapter 5, Romans chapter 12, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And these are the adulteries, the fornications, the uncleanness, the lewdness, the idolatry, the sorcery, the hatred, contentions, and jealousies, the outburst of wrath, the selfish ambitions, the dissensions, the heresies, the envy, the murders, the drunkenness, and the like. I tell you before, as I told you in times past, Paul says, that those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We've been talking a good bit about the kingdom of God coming about, and about the fact that we enter into the membership of the kingdom of God, and that we're headed toward the possibility of being in that eternal kingdom of which John writes that we can be. And here he says that about these people who serve God after they're baptized into Christ. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Be ready for that day. Be ready for that time. That's the way of life that He told us to follow. And if we don't have the strength to do that, let's ask the brethren to help us in prayer. And as we do that, we'll find the help that we need as we go on in life from day to day. So in the invitation provided tonight, don't forget the ideas of it as we stand together and sing this song for brethren as well as others.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demand. Is the voice I hear, sweetly the tongue are calling, open the door for me, if thou would heed my calling, I will abide with thee, door of my heart. I open wide, though He rebuke and chasten, He shall with me abide. Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me, if Thou would heed my
thank y'all for your listening tonight. God bless you in every way. In these particular studies, we've talked about things that I really believe we need. We need to know what to do after we're baptized in Christ, and we need to remember what we're supposed to be doing after we're baptized in Christ. And it's a blessing to our lives if we follow that way. What a blessing. Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you.